Are you a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is feeling the squeeze of high caseloads and limited support? Wondering if maybe private practice is the answer? Well, let's talk about it. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Don't just dream about having better work-life balance. Make it your reality by starting your own private practice. To register, just head on over to privatepracticetraining.com right now and sign up, and I'll see you there. Michael Johnston is a speech-language pathologist with a private practice in Louisiana. Y'all, I got to know Michael in the START program, and oh my goodness, has she grown quickly. She is 1 year into her private practice journey and already has a multidisciplinary brick-and-mortar private practice serving 100 clients a week because she's in a rural area that desperately needs services because they literally didn't have any pediatric therapy services. And so Michael brought them to her community. In addition to wanting to serve her local community, Michael started her private practice to have more flexibility for her family. She's the type that likes to go all in, and she has. In this episode, we discuss how she's getting clients, what went into her decision to start off as a multidisciplinary clinic, and what her clinic space looks like now, as well as what it will look like very soon. Whether you live in a rural or a populated area, if you've been thinking about starting a private practice to fill your needs, your family's needs, and the needs of people in your community, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system, and I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. All right, so before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Okay, so my name is Michael Johnston. The name of my private practice is Fundamental Pediatric Therapy, and we are located in Stonewall, Louisiana, which is just south of Shreveport, Louisiana.
I love it. And as you know, I'm a New Orleans native, so I'm always very excited to see Louisiana-based private practitioners getting set up, started, and helping Louisianians. I've been loving getting to watch your private practice journey. And so I want to share with our listeners kind of what that has been like. But before we get to what things are like now, can you take us back to kind of like the beginning of your career? And when did you start thinking about private practice?
Absolutely. So I graduated 2018. This is year going into year six for me. Straight out of grad school, I jumped into a private practice. It was ABA based. We had lots of severe kiddos with autism. Very behavior-based, which at the end of the day, I just found myself exhausted. So then when I decided to start a family of my own, I transitioned into the school system, which is great because I was able to be home with my family more. But then I felt like I wasn't, not to say you don't make a difference in the school system, but I didn't really feel like I had the same interaction with the families and the parents. I didn't have the freedom also to really work on what I wanted to address. We were tied so strictly to the curriculum, what Bulletin 1508 stated in terms of impacting education. So I love the schedule. I love the group settings, but it really wasn't for me long term. So at that point, I added on early intervention. So I signed up for Early Steps, started doing in-home sessions, daycare setting. Absolutely loved it. Fell in love with everything about early intervention. Loved the flexibility. Really started to think too, like, how can I do this full time without having someone over me kind of dictating what I'm doing on a daily basis, the paperwork, all that kind of stuff. So guess it was 2 years ago, I signed up for your class, literally on a whim, was sitting there and I was like, I think I could do this. And years ago, going private, people had this negative connotation on it of, oh, it's not ethical to take kids from so-and-so to do this. You're just trying to make money. But the more I read and the more I saw and the more I learned, I really was just like, this sounds exactly like me. I can be independent. I can see the kids that I want to see. I can help more families too, because I'll have the flexibility, the freedom, and I won't be driven by the rules of the school, which is one of the big things I didn't want to deal with anymore. And I wanted to make my own schedule. I wanted to be able to fit in around. I'm a mom almost of three. So I have a toddler and I'm pregnant with twins. So yes, good Lord.
Congrats.
I want to be able to make my own schedule and all that stuff. And then also, one of the big reasons why I opened a private practice in this area is because I'm from DeSoto Parish, which is this little parish in Louisiana. We have had no pediatric therapy ever, which is insane. So a lot of our families were having to travel to Shreveport, Bossier. Even our families from Natchitoches right now are driving an hour to see us. And so I wanted to be able to fill in the gaps and provide them with the resources that they needed. And a lot of times the school system, since it does have such regulations on if it's not impacting them educationally, it can't be addressed. Well, a lot of those kids need extra help and they weren't able to get it because they didn't have access to it. And so we decided to open here. My story's a little different. I know we kind of went all in. I spent about a year prepping behind the scenes, but then we just went all in. I got a suite. We started with speech and OT, added PT, and just kind of went all in because I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted to see, and I just was ready to make it happen.
So I love everything about your story, and congratulations on the twins, by the way. One of the things I think is really cool is that you decided to kind of take what you thought you knew about private practice or what your mindset was and shift that a little bit, right? Because I think that a lot of people do start out with having, and this is, listeners, this is true for me too. I also used to have like a negative connotation about private practice until I realized all of the benefits for it, and that a lot of the things that were more negative actually weren't true and were often being perpetuated by people who weren't in private practice and who had never been in private practice, had kind of like bad stuff to say about it for no reason. The other thing I liked about what you just shared was that you're really filling a void for yourself and for your family and for your own like clinical passions and your schedule and everything that are your needs, but also for the needs of your community, right? Living in a more rural community that has less services, I think it's really amazing when SLPs and OTs decide, like, listen, my community is suffering without these services. And if I have the ability to bring services to my area, like, I should really do that. So kudos for you for figuring out, like, how to do this for yourself and also for your community.
Thank you. It's definitely been a labor of love.
I love that. And yet there's lots of ways to do it, right? Like generally I teach people to kind of start slow and on the side, make sure you like it, all those kind of other things. But there's also people who are like, no, I'm going to start setting this up now and I'm going to go all in, right? It just totally depends on what people's level of risk tolerance kind of is a little bit, as well as their drive, right? And if you, listeners, if you're in an area like Michael that has a tremendous need, like, you don't have to really think that hard about whether or not there's going to be a need for your services if there's like zero available, right?
Right, absolutely. But definitely went all in. I'm sure a lot of people thought I was insane. We had to accept all insurance from the get-go, which a lot of private practitioners, you know, kind of start with one, maybe two, do private pay, start slowly. But the area that we live in, it just required us to take those insurance plans. We're not in an area where people are able to pay self-pay. We maybe have three or four total out of, we probably see about 100 kids right now. But it works for us. We were able to find an amazing credentialer, biller. She's local, which I recommend before you jump into a company that you're not familiar with, finding someone that is local and familiar with your state's insurance plans, because we had a bad experience initially because we were trying to use someone who was from like Florida. She did not understand Louisiana Medicaid, and we ended up having like a 6-month wait period because things weren't done correctly. Long story. But as soon as we were able to find someone local to our area, which I also just try to hire local anyways because it's important to us in our community, we were able to get that rolling, and then our kids just kept rolling in.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
And so for those initial clients that you were serving through your clinic, where were the very first ones finding you?
So I'm born and raised here. I graduated from a high school in this parish. I went off to college, came back, and then I went to graduate school in Shreveport, which is about 30 minutes from here. But I came straight back. After that, worked in the area. I'm very familiar with the teachers of the local schools. My family's from here. So it was a lot of word of mouth. I think coming into it as someone that they respected and they knew, they didn't have as much fear of, oh, who is this? Is she just trying to come in here and make money? If I was just doing this to make money, there's so many things we'd be doing differently if it was just about the money. But they definitely respected me. So a bunch of those kids came from just word of mouth. We really worked on getting a lot of reviews in the beginning. So lots of getting out of my comfort zone and asking parents like, hey, we're really trying to help as many kids as possible. Would you mind writing us a review? As a mom, if you see someone else recommending someone who is taking good care of your baby and doing all the things to make sure that they're comfortable and they're safe, then you're going to be more likely to go there.
And listeners, I know that there's oftentimes this like feeling of awkwardness that we feel in asking people for reviews. But keep in mind, like, you have done so many amazing things for your client, right? And for the family. If the one thing that they can do is write you a great Google review, they are so happy to do that. And yes, sometimes you might have to remind them because people are busy and whatnot. But people really, they don't mind doing it and they are excited to do it. And it often then feels like they're able to give back to you for even like a small portion of what you've been able to give to them, right? Has that been your experience too?
Absolutely. Our parents have seriously just been so grateful and thankful for all the work that we do. So honestly, if I told some of them, like, hey, I need you to go rob a bank, they would probably do it. Like, they're just so appreciative. So asking them to leave us a review, they are more than happy, willing on all of our platforms to do that for us to make sure. Sometimes they're like, we don't want to write too many good reviews because we don't want you to get too big. And I'm like, that's a promise. We're still going to take good care of you. We're just trying to make sure that everybody in this area is also taken care of.
Yes. And I love that. And I also love that you're offering occupational therapy. Tell our listeners about that decision to not just offer one discipline from pretty much the beginning, but to offer two.
Yes. So I was very adamant that I did not want to open with just speech therapy. There's definitely nothing wrong with that, but I just feel like so many of our kids who come in have difficulties in so many areas that I wanted to be able to provide the resources to our families to be able to access occupational therapy, physical therapy. We have feeding therapy because the whole child is what we're looking at holistically. We want to be able to address everything, especially with feeding. That's really become my area of specialty. So if I'm working with a child who has feeding difficulties, 90% of the time there's going to be some sensory difficulties. Well, I can address that in the feeding standpoint, but my occupational therapist needs to be able to come in and see what's happened with their sensory system for their whole body. PT can pop in and look at gross motor. How are we positioned? Where do we need to be to optimize functioning for this baby? And so that was very important for me. It's not easy, especially that's one of the hardest things of being in a rural area is the staff. I was very, very blessed with finding local therapists from the get-go, but we're really trying to find another speech therapist and physical therapist right now. And it's very difficult because most people live in Shreveport. So they work in Shreveport. That's where they want to kind of be. So it was difficult to be able to find that staff from the beginning. But we have been so blessed. Our occupational therapy team, physical therapists, all my therapists have seriously just been outstanding. We collaborate every single day. I really think probably half of our kids, both disciplines, see because they're having difficulties across most areas. And especially in this community, it's like they never had access to the services. So we weren't getting any help in any areas. So they're coming in at like 4 and 5. Communication is poor. Our handwriting is poor. Social emotional regulation is poor. We're just having so many issues. They knew something was wrong, but they didn't have access to it. So early intervention didn't take place. We have early steps, but a bunch of the areas here also don't have access because the therapists don't travel to this area.
So again, this is just further proof that you're serving a need for your community. And especially what you said about, like, these kids really have been going without services for a long time, just because in other places, maybe they're stuck on wait lists. But it sounds like in your area, like, there's no wait list to even be stuck on.
Exactly.
So kudos to you for figuring that out and just saying, you know what, like, I need to be with all the insurances. I need to be credentialed through early steps. I need to be all of these different things so that you can see the maximum amount of kids. And hiring is hard, right? And right now in U.S. history with post-pandemic life and everything, hiring is hard for kind of everybody. But then if you add the additional part about being in a more rural community, it's like, it's even harder, right? So, but I really like that you're doing everything you can to give everything to your clients as you're able to.
Absolutely. We're trying our best.
Tell me about, it looks like you have a really nice space back there. Tell everyone about where your practice is located.
So we have a pediatric therapy gym in the back, occupational therapy space, and a speech therapy space that we're kind of splitting right now. Great news is we have just signed a lease. We got approval yesterday, actually, from the fire marshal. We are doubling in size, which we are ecstatic about. We have a big space considering, but I feel like we have just been bursting at the seams, which is such a blessing. But we do have a new space coming, hopefully by end of January, February. So we'll have a room that is specific for ADLs. Our occupational therapy team is ecstatic about that. So we're going to be able to have a sink for them to wash dishes. Hopefully in the long run, a small washer and dryer so we can practice doing clothes, all that kind of stuff. And maybe do some small feeding groups, which is something that we really love to see. And then we're also bringing on a lactation consultant. So she'll have her private room, which we're very excited about. And then our therapy gym will double. Right now, it pretty much serves as a sensory gym, but we'll be able to kind of split the space so that our PT will have plenty of room to help little ones who are walking, crawling, all that good stuff. And we'll also still have that dedicated sensory space. And then I will go back to having my own office, which I am so excited about. I'll probably have a couple of pack and plays in there at some point. So
something that you said toward the beginning was when you decided to like start this practice and go all in, people probably thought I was a little crazy to be doing that, right? What do people think of you now? This is so impressive, Michael.
Everyone has been so amazing and supportive. I honestly could not be more grateful for all the positive things that everyone has said. My husband, my mother, of course, and then just everyone in the community has been so supportive because we really try to support to like local sports. We go to local events. We're always trying to make sure that we are being supportive of the kids that we see in all areas. And everyone has been very positive experience to hear what they have to say about us. And it makes me even more excited and happy to see all the things that they're saying about my therapist. I'll get on and they'll have tagged our side and just raving about how wonderful their experience has been here. So we really couldn't be any more grateful. It's been a blessing for sure.
Oh, I love that. So in addition to, obviously, you mentioned my next question is usually about like kind of what's coming next. You've already answered that to some extent, right? Like lactation consulting and doubling your space and adding more professionals to your lineup. What would you see for like long term, right? So like let's try to zoom out like a couple of years from now. What do you think that your practice might look like?
Long term, for me, essentially, I would like to have dedicated days because right now I'm kind of doing everything all day, all the time. Social media posts, trying to do meet and greets with pediatricians. I carry a full-time load right now almost too for therapy. So ideally, I would like to be able to do like 2 days of therapy, 2 days of all the business things that we need to be taken care of, social media, marketing. We do so many events. I've been fluffing Christmas trees for Santa this morning and then being able to be off, actually off on Fridays to have long weekends. And honestly, long term, I don't know. Everyone is asking, are you going to do another location? What is your 5-year plan? I would love to expand another location eventually into another rural community, kind of local to us, but we'll see. Once this is up and running and I can take a real step back, there's always room for more, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's probably also not fair to ask a woman who's pregnant with twins, like,
I'm like barely hanging on right now, too. So I'm like, if I could just get through maternity leave, we can find the staff to cover our speech therapy caseloads. And then I'm going to be moving buildings while I'm 6 months pregnant. But this is honestly just who I am and what I do. I feel like I'm always so like, I'm always all in. So we'll figure it out.
Well, and that's really the beauty of this whole thing, because how long have you been in practice now?
I'm going on, I think, year 6 as a speech therapist. And then we just celebrated our first year in October. So we've only been open for a little over a year.
Right. So this is the part where I think our listeners are like, oh my gosh, you've achieved all of this in 1 year, right? Like, yes, you've been an SLP for 6, but your practice is really just a year and some change old. That's a lot of progress to have made in 1 year. That's a lot of very fast growth because, again, you had a community that desperately needed it.
Absolutely. And I do think it's so different. I never want anyone to compare their journey. I had the opportunity here because I knew that we had kids who needed it. And also, I knew our area is starting to grow. So I knew if I didn't open, somebody else would. And so we needed to take full advantage of the opportunity. And I knew this was always what I wanted to do. So it just kind of fell into place. I actually asked the school that year if I could just do like 2 days as I was starting to grow the practice. And she said that they actually wanted someone to come in full time. And so I was kind of like, okay, well, here's my resignation. I guess I'm out. And then I spent that whole year basically business cards, flyers, brochures, trying to hire staff, doing everything behind closed doors. I had the whole place designed on spreadsheets before we ever even opened the door. I think we got the keys on a Saturday and we opened that next week. Like we had everything. We had it done. I'm very lucky. I had a whole family bringing in all the things. I knew exactly where everything was going to go and how everything was going to be. I did take lots of coursework that year too, to be able to market myself as a feeding therapist. I took, oh my gosh, probably 40 hours of continuing education. Because being in a small area too, if parents had questions, I wanted to make sure I had answers. And so I just tried to learn everything that I could before we opened.
I love that. Again, I just, listeners, I hope that you're inspired by Michael's story, whether you live in a rural area or not. Like, I just think it's really awesome to be able to be the type of person that says, you know what, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is what my family needs. This is what my community needs. And I'm going to go all in and I'm going to do it. For any listeners who are listening to this who are like, yeah, I'd really like to do that, but I don't know. What advice would you give to people who are kind of on the fence about private practice?
At the end of the day, it is a lot of work. So I think it's best to know that going in, but it has been the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my entire life. I would also recommend do a lot of prep work. So like I said, before we opened, I had everything lined out. I had the business cards made, flyers, websites, social media. I had everything ready. So the second we did our announcement, everything was ready to go. I had already asked previous parents to write reviews so that I went into it. Basically, parents had something to go off of and they were like, well, what do you have to offer? I had everything already ready. The coursework to find a niche. You don't have to do it all. We pretty much see it all here, but each therapist still has their own niche. So I take most of our feeding kids and I did a lot of coursework to prepare for that. So if you have that to stand out, I think that's a good piece of advice. And also just really form relationships. I think that's the biggest thing that has really helped us to stand out. Form relationships in the community. Be a support. You're going to spread yourself thin at first, but long term, you'll be able to take a step back and see what you've done and have that time to take a long vacation, to work shorter hours. You have to do the work first to get to where you want to be.
Yes, absolutely. I could not have said it better myself. Michael, thank you for being on the show, for being so inspirational, and just for sharing your journey. Where can our listeners learn more about you online?
So our website is fundamentalpediatrictherapy.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Okay, don't you just love Michael? I love how dedicated she is to her community and how she wants to bring services and jobs to her local area. Michael is the perfect example of someone who had a goal and went all in to get it. And you can too. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we work with SLPs and OTs just like Michael to start, grow, and scale their private practices, please visit independentclinician.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.